Ukraine's ask to use long-range weapons against targets in Russia is the big international story this morning. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer will be in Washington this weekend, and that issue is top of the agenda for his meeting with President Biden. However, Russia's President Putin says letting Ukraine use those long-range weapons, ATACMS, would mean that NATO is at war with Russia.
It is not about allowing the Ukrainian regime to strike Russia with these weapons or not. It is about making a decision about whether NATO countries are directly involved in the military conflict or not. If this decision is made, it will mean nothing less than the direct participation of NATO countries, the United States and European countries, in the war in Ukraine.
So that's what President Putin is saying. And shortly before we came on air, I spoke to James Waterhouse. He's the BBC's Ukraine correspondent. And he began by explaining why Ukraine wants to use these long-range ATACMS and the difference that they could make to the conflict.
They're known as ATACMS, and they essentially allow Ukraine to quite specifically target areas or sites deep inside Russia, potentially. Now, thus far in this war, Ukraine has only been able to use missiles like this on areas of occupied territory inside Ukraine. Over the last few months, there was a lifting of restrictions where Ukraine could strike certain military sites close to the border as long as they were facilitating Russia's invasion. But Ukraine's issue is that it feels like it's been fighting with one hand behind its back, because you have the Russians continually launching glide bombs, for example, from fighter jets that fly up to 100 kilometers inside Russia itself. They're dropped from high altitude and they land on Ukrainian cities close to the border, and there is little to nothing that they can do about that. And what Ukraine is looking to do is hit military air bases, for example, to stop those aircraft taking off in the first place. The West has always been nervous about allowing Ukraine to use its weaponry deep inside Russia over fears of an escalation. But clearly, I think if you look at the political direction of travel, where President Biden says it's something they are looking at, if we look at Keir Starmer's upcoming, the British Prime Minister, the upcoming meeting with him in Washington, I would not be surprised to see a further relaxation. Clearly, this is a war of calculations for both sides. You have Vladimir Putin of Russia, who's not afraid to rattle the nuclear saber, to draw his own red lines, and you have the West working out how far they can push things. Because at the moment, the conditions favour Russia, certainly, when it comes to the Battle of the Skies.
So how do you interpret that threat from Vladimir Putin, who is also himself, isn't he, getting ballistic missiles from Iran? But he says if this is okayed by the United States and France and UK okay it too, then that, he says, puts NATO directly at war with Russia. How serious is that threat?
Well, you have to take it seriously. I think this is something Vladimir Putin has said over and over, isn't it? He's framed his invasion as a defensive war, trying to protect Russia from the West. It's almost a greater battle, as he frames it, with Ukraine stuck in the middle. Of course, he has looked at, you know, if you look at his own rhetoric, if you look at what is said on Russian state TV, the Kremlin is not afraid to highlight the fact that it has one of the biggest nuclear arsenals in the world, or if not the biggest. But clearly, there is some kind of dialogue going on between the US and Russia. If you look at what William Burns, the director of the CIA, admitted to a couple of weeks ago, clearly, you know, when Russia last threatened to use tactical nukes in 2022, the US made it clear, he claimed, that there would be some kind of response. But clearly, Ukraine is sort of winning the argument where it's saying, look, do you want us to win or not? And there is a real chance that if Russia continues to enjoy air superiority alongside its numerical advantage on the battlefield, then this war is not going to go Ukraine's way and ultimately the West's. And that feeds into the greater question of if Russia takes Ukraine, the view held by some if while not being in the near future, is that it won't stop there. So clearly the West is more focused or wants to pursue a Ukrainian victory more than that it feels the sort of the merits of that outweigh the risk of an escalation.
And indeed, Kamala Harris referencing that in her debate with Donald Trump the other night, talking about the threat to Poland and the impact that would have on Polish-American voters in Pennsylvania. So is there a race against time in some senses going on here for Ukraine? Because if Donald Trump wins that November election, he and J.D. Vance say they'd get this war ended in a day and probably on terms Ukraine wouldn't like.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing here is both Ukraine and Russia working to a timetable of the upcoming US presidential election. On the latter, you have invading forces trying to seize as much territory as possible. Take the Eastern Donetsk region, where you know wave after wave of Russian attack is being endured, and you can be sure that that Russia will be wanting to add to its trophy of seized territory so far. Then you look at Ukraine. It's had this incursion into the Russian Kursk region, where it has taken some territory, not as much, a fraction of what Russia has taken the other way. But already the Russians are pushing back there, and Ukraine is struggling to keep hold of it in for long enough, I think, at the moment to turn it into any kind of capital for a future peace negotiation. So as things stand, you know, Ukraine is certainly in the weaker position if you have an incoming President Trump for his second term who's going to look to bring this to an end. We know he admires Vladimir Putin. It really is acting as a catalyst for both sides trying to sort of see something before the approaching autumn where fighting and progress becomes a whole lot more difficult.
And that was James Waterhouse, the BBC's Ukraine correspondent.